turn to number 296. It's the wrong number in the bulletin. The number you have is the musician's number, but the hymn number is 296. It's from 1 Samuel chapter 21, beginning at verse 10, as we continue our series on the life of David, a man after God's own heart. Picking up the events from chapter 21, verse 10. That day, David fled from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. But the servants of Achish said to him, "Isn't this David, the king of the land? Isn't this the one they sang about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands." David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, king of Gath. So he pretended to be insane in their presence. And while he was in their hands, he acted like a madman, making marks on the doors of the gate and letting saliva run down his beard. Achish said to his servants, "Look at the man. He's insane. Why bring him to me? Am I so short of madman that they have brought this fellow here to carry on like this in front of me? Must this man come into my house?" Here's the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for the example in the life of David, a man, Lord, who walked with you, a man who knew you well, a man who you called after your own heart. And Lord, his life had many ups and downs. His life had many highs and many lows. And from that, Lord, we as well are encouraged because our lives as well have many ups and downs, some high points and some low points, some times of great victory and some times of great defeat. But through your word, Lord, you continue to speak to us. You continue to give us hope and encouragement. So, Lord, I pray that through your word today, you would encourage us, that you would strengthen us, and you would bless us. Through Christ our Lord, in whom we pray, amen. When all is lost, what do you do? How do you respond to loss in your life or times of loss? For none of us like to lose. Maybe if you're playing a game, don't like to lose a game. Or whenever the best team in football, my Pittsburgh Steelers, lose a playoff game or the Super Bowl, it's not a happy day, especially in Pittsburgh area. Or when we lose, those are just some normal things, but when we lose things more importantly, more significant. What about if we lose a job or a spouse or our health? Things begin to decline, or income. When things are taken away from us, in this past year we went through COVID, lost a lot of things. And when things are taking away from us, how do we respond? Where do we go? Who do we turn to, or what do we turn to at times like that? For help and for strength. When all is lost, what do you lean upon? What do you rely on? What are you trusting in when everything else falls away, like sinking sand, and we're left with loss around us? We all heard of the life of Fanny Crosby. We have all heard many of her songs and hymns. We sing many of them in our church, but she had written over 8,000 hymns in the course of her life. But her life illustrates what we do and how we face when all is lost. Because Fanny Crosby was born on March 24, 1820, in the state of New York. And at 6 weeks of age, she developed a cold that affected her eyes. The family doctor was not available at the time, so they called another doctor who prescribed a hot mustard poultice to be put on her and applied to her eyes. The application ended up destroying her eyesight completely, leaving her permanently blinded. Later, it was found out that the doctor was not qualified to practice medicine. He soon left town and was never ever heard of from again. Fanny later on, concerning him, wrote, and I quote her, she said, "I have not for one moment in more than 85 years felt a spark of resentment against him, because I have always believed that the good Lord by this means consecrated me to the work that I am still permitted to do," unquote. By the time of her first birthday, her father John had died. And when Fanny was 5 years of age, her mother took her to one of her finest eye doctors in the country, hoping that some way her sight would return. The results indicated that Fanny would indeed remain blind. But the loss of her sight did not bother her. At the age of 8, she wrote her first poem, and this is what it said. "Oh, what a happy so am I. Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't, to weep and sigh because I'm blind, I can't and I won't." Later in life, Fanny saw her blindness as a gift and thanked God for it. She said, "It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life, and I thank him for this dispensation. If perfect sight, earth sight, were afforded to me tomorrow, I would not accept it. I might not have sung hymns of praise to God if I had been distracted by the beautiful and interesting things around me." That is an illustration of a person who, when all was lost, still had faith and reliance and trust in the Lord. Her life is an illustration of where we find David at this point in his life. We find David in chapter 21 of Samuel in one of the low points of his life. We had just seen a couple weeks ago his high point, how God had used him to slay Goliath. Everything was going well. And then soon King Saul turned on him and he began to run for his life and flee. And that's where we find him now. He was fleeing for his life. 4 times King Saul had tried to kill him with a spear. His life was being threatened. He had to flee everything and leave it all behind. And he gets to this point, chapter 21, this town of Gath. Now, does that name ring a bell to you? The town of Gath should ring a bell to you because the town of Gath was the hometown of Goliath. He ends up going to Goliath's hometown. And when he gets there, they're singing this song, the same song that agitated Saul that started him fleeing. And that is, "David has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands." That song had gone all the way to Gath. And David, when he heard, the scripture says he became fearful. He had lost everything around him and he didn't know what to do. And so out of his fear, he acted insane. He acted like a madman, and he let saliva run down his beard. He acted like he was, and that was the only thing he knew to do. And in the midst of that, the king of Gath said, "Why bring them here to me? I have enough people to take care of. Send them away." And it was the only way he could think of to have his life spared. Later on in his life, like many of our hymns that we sing in church today, many of the hymns that were written came out of painful experiences in people's lives and how God met them through it. "It Is Well With My Soul," we know the story of well, is one of those such like it. Psalm 34 is a hint, in our scripture, is a psalm that came out of this experience in 1 Samuel 21. I want you to turn there because Psalm 34 is the basis for our message this morning. And this psalm reflects how, when all is lost around us, and when David got to that point when all was lost, what did he do? Where did he put his hope? What did he learn from? And what came out of that experience in his life that it teaches and instructs us today? Psalm 34 is that response. And notice the theme. The author in my scripture says, David, after pretending to be insane in order to escape from King Achish, it's dated. Is that the context of this psalm is put right on there, that he wrote this after this experience. It came out of this painful experience and low time in his life. And he wrote this psalm of praise to the Lord. And from this Psalm 34 we're going to look at this morning, we discover 3 things that when we lose, when all is lost around us, 3 responses that God brings us to, or we should come to in our life. And the first, when all is lost, we need to learn to lean solely on him. David had to learn that lesson. He had to learn, and everything else was taken from him, and he was fleeing for his life, and his life was threatened. All he had left was the Lord. Notice what he says in verses 4 through 7. He said, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces are never covered with shame. Their faces are never covered with shame. Get how that came out of him pretending to be insane. He learned that. And he said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. David learned from this experience that the only place he could go when everything else was lost was the Lord. When he tried to take care of it himself and come up with his own way, that didn't suit. We learn to lean solely on him because our enemy is relentless. The enemy that David faced was King Saul. And if he would begin, and through this whole portion of Scripture, beginning in Psalm 1 Samuel chapter 19, all the way through chapter 20, 22, 23, King Saul is hunting David down. And David's gone from one place to the next to the next. Saul was relentless, and he would not let up. And David had to flee everything. He had an enemy pursuing him hot on his tails that would not let up. We as well have an enemy just as ruthless, and that's our enemy, Satan. And the Bible says, be self-controlled, be alert, because your enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9 says, resist him and stand strong in the faith, and know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of trials. We got to rely solely on our Father, on our Lord, because our enemy is relentless out there. And if we know Christ, we have a target on our back. And he does not let up. Our strength is found in Christ alone. We also need to lean on him because our strength is inadequate. David, when he came up with that plan of howling to deal with this, thought the only way I can get out of this is to act like I'm insane, and maybe they'll spare my life and have mercy on me. And he tried everything he could to get himself through that situation. And our strength is inadequate. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. When we go through those hard times, when we suffer hard times of adversity and loss, when we rely on our strength to get us through, our strength will fail us. But David learned that he said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and he saved him out of all his troubles. He learned that when I lean on Christ, he's going to give me the strength. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But Paul said, with Christ, I can do all things who gives me strength. Relying on him, our Savior. We also need to learn solely on him because our crutches are removed. Paul, the Lord had taken David to a place where everything else he leaned upon, everything else he was resting in and trusting in, was taken away from him. And sometimes the Lord has to knock those crutches out from under us to get us to that place where we can trust him better, where we're relying fully on him, because crutches become substitutes for God. Anything that we're leaning or relying on other than him directly can become a substitute. And sometimes we can rely on things that are good. And we'll see in David's life what the Lord removed from his life. Some of them were good things. But when we rely on them instead of Christ, they become a crutch for us. And crutches keep our focus horizontal. They keep us focused on the things we're trusting in and not on the Lord himself and our vertical relationship with Christ, which is so important. What are some of the crutches that the Lord removed from David in this time? Well, he lost his position. In 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 9 to 10, because he was elevated by King Saul after the victory over Goliath, and he put high up in the army. But then because Saul did not trust him and began to try to kill him four times with the spear, David had to flee. And he lost that position in the army. He lost that place he was. And he lost that place there that he had given. His position was taken, was gone. He couldn't trust and rely on that anymore. Then he lost his wife. If you go to verses 11 to 17 of chapter 19, you read and remember how David received his wife. King Saul said, "And the person who kills Goliath, I will give my daughter as a wife." Remember that? And so David received his wife, Michal, the daughter of King Saul, as a wife for winning that battle. But whenever his wife came to him in the midst of her father trying to track David down, Michal said to David, "You need to flee because my father's trying to kill you. So you need to get out of the house now." So she let him out of the window and helped him escape. But then it says that she got an idol, put it in the bed, put hair over it. And whenever King Saul's men, her father's men, came to the house, said, "Well, David's in the bed, but he's sick. He can't come out." So they said, "Well, we're going to go in the bed and kill him there." They got to the bed. They got to the bedroom, and they saw this idol with hair on it. And they said to King Saul, said to his daughter, "You lied to me." And Michal said, "No, David threatened me. And he told him, you better let me go or I'm going to kill you." So even his own wife at that point, and from that point on, he never saw her again. Then he lost his spiritual counselor. The story continued. He went on, chapter 19, verses 18 to 20. He went and ran. He left his wife and he went to Samuel. He thought, "I can go to Samuel. Maybe I can find safety and security in him." It was Samuel who had anointed him. And he went to Samuel and found refuge there. But then King Saul was hot on his trail. He had to flee from Samuel. He lost Samuel's counsel and advice. So then where did he turn to? He went to his friend Jonathan, the best friend Jonathan that God had given, who was the prince and king, King Saul's son. But he ended up losing that relationship too. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 1 to 42, and I'm not going to go into it, but it's a long, extensive story on how David and Jonathan parted company and how Jonathan and David came into agreement to give them a warning, found out that the king was trying to kill him. But at the end of that, it says that they wept when they had to say goodbye. And it said that David wept the most. Verse 42 says that David went one way, Jonathan went another. They were never to see each other again. And he lost that cherished relationship that he had. But then we get to chapter 21 where we were, and he lost his dignity and self-respect. That in order, out of fear, to save his life, he acted like a madman. He acted insane. And even got to the point that he lost his self-respect and dignity. You'd say David lost everything. All those crutches were taken out of his life so that he could learn to rely solely on Jesus. Sometimes the Lord removes those crutches from our life and knocked them out from under us a little bit so that we look to him and trust him better. Or rely solely on him. David learned that experience deeply. Second thing we learn when all is lost is that we lift up praise gladly to him. That when all is lost around us, when no matter what we're facing, we still praise God. Horatio Spafford learned that and wrote that out of his painful experience, "And It Is Well With My Soul." We know the song, but he said, "Whatever my lot, you've taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." He praised God regardless. Look at Psalm 34, verses 1 and 2. David said, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord, and let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." And David learned out of this painful experience in his life, he said, "You know what? I'm still going to praise God. I'm going to praise God at all times. His praise is always going to be my lips." Lifting up praise gladly to him, even in the hard times. And you say, "But Dan, how can we do that?" Doesn't it sound like what Paul said? Didn't Paul say, "Rejoice in the Lord sometimes, and again I tell you to sometimes rejoice"? Is that what he said? No, he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I tell you, rejoice." Why? Because praise is not based on our circumstances, but on God's goodness. And that's why we can praise him no matter what we're facing, because God is good in all things. And when we go through those hard times, he has a good purpose in it. We may not be able to see it. God was working his good in David's life. David was being refined. His heart was being made more like the Lord's. Through this time of experience in his life, God was refining him. And God was doing his good work. And David was learning that I can praise him in everything. And praise is going to continually be on my lips. I'm going to lift it up to him, even though this is a dark time in my life. Even though I may not feel like singing, I'm going to sing up to him because he is worthy and he is good and he is good in all things. He says, I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. And praise lifts us up by changing our focus. It's an amazing thing about prayer. As we lift up praise to the Lord, our focus begins to get off of ourselves and our problems and gets to be on Jesus. That hymn, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. The things of earth grow strangely dim in light of his glory and grace. Because David said here, glorify, let the, my soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name forever. When David turned and the praise up to the Lord, he forgot about the focus was off of his trial that he was going through, his fleeing and running from Saul, and his focus was on the Lord and his goodness and greatness in the midst of this, and his presence with him. So when all is lost, we learn to lean solely on him. And when all is lost, we lift up praise gladly to him. But third, when all is lost, we leave justice entirely to him. And that's what David learned to do. And notice as he closed this psalm, in verse 20, 21, 22, he says, evil will slay the wicked, and the foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants, and no one who will be condemned who takes refuge in him. David, in the midst of this time, when King Saul was unjustly chasing him down, remember, David had not done anything wrong. David was not disloyal to Saul. David had served Saul faithfully. He was not disloyal. He gave his best to him. But yet Saul was treating him as a criminal. And David did not retaliate. He did not seek revenge. Several times we'll see he's going to have an opportunity to take revenge and try to kill Saul, but he would not lay a hand on him. And he left it into the hands of the Lord. And he treated, even though he was being treated unjustly, he left it into the hands of God. He believed that the Lord would vindicate him and make everything right. And he knew that his heart was right with before God and he had nothing to prove. He knew he didn't have to defend himself to Saul or anybody else. He knew that God would come to his aid. And it's the same with us, that the Lord will come to our aid. Verse 22 says, the Lord redeems his servants and no one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. And the Lord knew, David knew that God had anointed him and chosen him to be next king. And he knew that somehow in his time, God would make it right. God would bring it into fruition. And he did not seek to hurry it or to bring about God's hand. He's leaving it into his timing and into his justice. And it's the same with us. When we're going through those times when we want to retaliate, when we want to fight back, just to leave it in the hands of God. And know that in his time, he will make everything right. He will set it right. And he will come to our aid. He will come to our defense. Verse 21 says, David, evil will slay the wicked, and the foes of the righteous will be condemned. David knew there'd be a time that God would eventually take care of Saul. He didn't have to do it. God will eventually take care of that, and God will make it right. And so the same with us in those times too. So we leave injustice entirely up to him. The scripture says in Romans, when we're treated unjustly, don't repay evil for evil, but leave it into the hands of God. God says, vengeance is mine to repay. I will repay, says the Lord. So when all is lost, how do you respond? David at first, out of his own thinking, thought, well, the only way I can deal with this is to put on this act insane like I need help. And God brought him through that, but he learned as he reflected back that no, we got to lean solely on him. When all this, everything else is taken from us, all we have left is Jesus. Leaning solely on him, praising him gladly in the midst of it. and leaving justice in his hands, knowing at the right time he will make it right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, its truth and its example and relevance to our life, and for the life of David, Lord, who was a man after your heart, who from him, through him, Jesus our Savior came. That on David you built a dynasty that your word says will endure forever through Jesus. And we thank you for his example that continues to speak to us even now, for how you used him to write so much of the scripture and the Psalms, and what we looked at today in Psalm 34 that came out of this painful experience in his life, but how through it, as he reflected back, he learned a deeper experience and relationship with you in it. And so, Lord, when all is lost around us, may we not throw our hands up in despair. We may not feel hopeless, but may we look to you and lean on you solely, knowing that you will come to our aid. You are near to the brokenhearted. You will come to us. You do not abandon us. And we thank you for that. And Lord, in the midst of that, help us to praise you and to lift up our praise, even when it's hard and difficult, to praise you in all things, not just the good, but in the bad, because that honors and glorifies you. And it also takes the focus off of our situation and puts it onto you. And Lord, help us just to wait on your timing, not to seek to take things into our hands or to retaliate, but to know that you will come to our aid at the proper time. You will make it right, and we can trust in you. So Lord, help us this week to live for you each and every day, to find our strength and hope in you, our Savior and our Lord. And through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.